Okay, folks, welcome back. And certainly I heard some interesting discussions as I walked around the groups, and certainly engagement with some thoughts. So hopefully the panel session, we can extract some of that information and share it with the wider group and add some value to Anne in terms of the strategy going forward. However, what we have now is, in fact, a topic that we've talked about a number of times in this group and suggested that we have some discussions about emerging economies and the IFRS. We've commented on the relative, if you like, amount of emerging economies and or SMEs using IFRS in some form, and whether in fact they're getting the focus from us or the board that they deserve. And obviously, as we discussed at our last meeting, the reputation survey that was carried out certainly confirmed the importance of engagement with emerging economies. So today is the first session which, I'll be honest, I see as a journey for the Advisory Council to take exploring the ISB strategy, approach and use of resources in the area. And Amoro, who has obviously attended this meeting a number of times, is also the chair of the Emerging Economies Group. And he and Michelle are going to talk to us around where his vision, their vision for the Emerging Economy Group is, and in response to, as much as anything else, the reputation survey, and then our opportunity to provide our thoughts and advice around this vision, these plans. So, Amoro, Michelle, over to you.
So, good morning, everyone. My name is Michelle Santom. I'm responsible for our relationships with national standard setters and the technical lead on the Emerging Economies Group. So, we're going to start this morning's discussion, as Jo just said, on the work we do with the Emerging Economies Group. I wanted to start.
The other way.
Ah, yeah. That's better. So we'll start. I thought we would start by having an overview of the work we do with national standard setters, because the session following this, we're going to be talking about the review of ASAF, so I thought it would be best to have an overview first. Then we'll talk about the work with the Emerging Economies Group, and then Amoro will touch on some of the other areas where we work with the emerging economies. As Jo said, this work came from the reputational survey, which I know the Advisory Council has been involved with. So really the reputational survey said there was strong support for the work we did and much of it was continue as we are. But we did get some feedback about our engagement with emerging economies and maybe trying to involve them more in our consultation processes. So I'll first provide an overview of how the Emerging Economy Group fits into the overall work we do with national standard setters. So we look at the national standard setters as a number of groups. There's a group we call the world standard setters, and then these generally divide into four regional groups: Europe, Africa, Latin America, and Asia Oceania. There are a number of national standard setters, for instance, Canada, that don't have a regional group. It's important when we work with national standard setters, because they're such a diverse group, that we work through the regional groups. We then have two smaller groups, ASAF, which we're going to discuss later this morning, and then the Emerging Economies Group. And finally, there's another group which is independent from the ISB and has a slightly wider membership criteria, and it's an independent forum of standard setters. So there's normally 30 or 40, maybe more, national standard setters that come together twice a year to discuss issues of mutual interest, maybe the ISB's research projects or work on not-for-profits that they're undertaking themselves. So what's important for us is that we have a strategy. So as Anne outlined earlier today, she's currently developing the strategy for academics, and we did this maybe two or three years ago worked through a strategy for working with national standard setters. And we set ourselves three goals. The first one was to maintain effective relationships with national standard setters, because it's really important that those national standard setters, who are often also responsible for the adoption or the endorsement of our standards, feel part of the process as we develop those standards and understand the board's thinking and how it's reached its conclusions. The next one, the next goal is to encourage the national standard setters to support our implementation work. So many of the national standard setters more recently have formed local transition resource groups to support the implementation of the major standards. And we try and work with those national standards and those support groups to help the consistent application and the implementation of those major standards. And then finally, we work in collaboration with the national standard setters on many of our technical programme. Now, the work we do here can be very varied. We could be looking at some academic work or some research work or some outreach work they've already done. We might be attending an outreach event with them, or we might even be doing some joint research. So just some of the types of things we do. We have an annual World Standard Setters Conference. We invite all world standard setters to the conference. There's normally well over 150 people who attend the conference. It gives all of the national standard setters an opportunity to meet and discuss issues between themselves. We focus quite a lot on our education, and that could be education of new standards or trying to provide an overview of what's in our discussion papers. And it also provides an opportunity in some instances for national standard setters to look at our current projects and provide some input to us. And as I said, one of the areas we've been working on more recently is supporting implementation. And in the bottom half of this slide, you can see some of the areas where we've been trying to support the NSS and help them encourage the supporting implementation in their region. So we've done things like have webinars for national standard setters. Just before we issued IFRS 17, we had a webinar where national standard setters got a set of slides, could ask us questions. So what about the Emerging Economies Group? So the Emerging Economies Group was established in 2011 and was really consistent with what we heard in the reputation survey, but it came from the G20, and it was about trying to involve the emerging economies more in the standard setting process. We wanted really to have a communications mechanism that worked with the emerging economies. I think importantly here, the Secretariat of the Emerging Economies is provided by the Ministry of Finance from China. I know they're not here today, but they do an awful lot of work to support the organisation of the meetings that we have with the emerging economies, liaising with the members. It's a really important role to us. So, who are the EEG members? So currently, Amara chairs the EEG group, and the Ministry of Finance for China are the vice chairs. There are 12 national standard setters. The EEG members were appointed on a permanent basis, and I'll talk about what we've done with the membership shortly. And they hold biannual meetings, so we meet twice a year. And the meetings are hosted by the EEG members themselves, so we travel around the member countries. We have recently issued new terms of references for the EEG members, so myself, Amara and Daryl have been in discussion, a very open and constructive discussion about with the EEG about where we see their role and how they can support us. And what's important, you'll see these three objectives on this slide also link back to the objectives we have for working with the national standard setters. So by providing a technical platform for the economies to communicate and exchange views relates to our objective, our first goal of supporting a network of standard setters, contributing to our agenda process, contributes both to goal 2 and goal 3 in the implementation and the technical program, and then finally contributing to the application of the standards is part of our second goal. This is a really important area. I think this is, for me, the key focus, that we give the emerging economies a platform where they can exchange ideas, exchange problems, look at potential solutions and work with us. So with the change in the chairmanship, we've had an opportunity to work with the EEGM members to look at some possible improvements. And it's been a process that's probably taken us about 18 months now. So I'm going to run through some of the areas that we've tried to improve the engagement. We had a long conversation with EEG members about whether we should expand the membership, change the membership. And ultimately, we decided to keep the membership as it is because these people have been coming together twice a year for some years now. They work well together. They know each other. There's an open and constructive dialogue. But what we did was when we, because the meetings moved to each EEG member countries, we now ask other emerging economies that neighbour those jurisdictions if they would like to attend the meeting. So the last meeting we had was in December 2017 in Brazil. We invited some of the other Latin American countries. Unfortunately, they didn't take us up. We've extended invitations. Our next meeting is in Malaysia, and we'll have to see. But it's, I think, an opening to engage more emerging economies. We've also looked at the agenda. Now, the agenda of EEG is very clearly set by the EEG members. We have a list of topics that we're working through. We add to that list. We review that list at each meeting. And we discuss with the EEG those topics. The EEG was set up on a day one topic. This wasn't a phrase that I was aware of until I started working with EEG. And what it is the first day of the meeting, they take one particular subject and they focus on that one particular subject. Now, in the time I've been working with the EEG, that's ranged from a current standard. So we spent a whole day working on IAS 37. We then spent another whole day looking at IFRS 15 last spring and the implementation challenges around that. And in December, we spent a whole day looking at business combinations under common control, which is one of the board's research projects. So quite a variety of topics and some very in-depth discussions that we have. But I think also it's important to note that there's a very much a sharing of who's going to be preparing agenda papers. It could be ourselves or the EEG members themselves bring forward papers of topics that they want to discuss at the meeting. And this slide just provides an overview of the agenda topics that we've had and those that are coming up in the last couple of meetings. I think, so what you see is the day one topics where we have a full day discussing a single issue, and then day two where there are a number of topics discussed. We also normally do a general update in day two as well. One of the areas that we've been looking at with support from Daryl is the accounting for micro-entities. So we've had a rolling program of looking at how each of the emerging economies has adapted standards or what standards it has in place for the emerging economies. And we hope to conclude those discussions in Malaysia and then to put together a slide deck that we can publish on our EEG webpage, showing the work and the different approaches, and that'll be accessible. And there are still new adopters. So Daryl and I were talking to a country last year, and if we last week, and I think if we had this, we would have easily been able to say to them, here are various approaches that people have used for microeconomies. You can use micro entities. You know, you can select one of these that best suits you. So I think what's important about this is we're not singly focusing on topics that are on the ISB's current agenda. It's much more about a problem sharing and a solving of topics. The next area we've tried to improve is the actual output from the meetings, the communication around the meetings. Traditionally, we've always had a communique which just gave a high-level summary of the topics that have been discussed. For the last two meetings, we've done something similar to an ISB update, which is called the EEG report. You can access it on our webpage. And the idea was really that we we tried to produce a document that other EEG members could read, could share the problems, could see the solutions, but also that we could make visible to the board the discussions that the EEG members had had, and the key elements of those discussions. It's not an easy document to draft because clearly I don't want to be interpretive in any of the standards. We want to be reporting the discussions and we want to be putting forward the approaches EEG members have taken. But I think it is turning into quite a useful document for others to share. We've also decided to extend the length of the meetings. So traditionally, the EEG meetings have been a day and a half. And when we were discussing with the EEG members, you know, possible improvements, the investment for the EEG members in terms of travel time is quite significant. And what they felt was it would be useful to have slightly longer meetings, because by having longer meetings, they could still stick with the day one topic, then have the day two where they have a number of topics, and on the third day, we could look at a single topic or maybe do some outreach in the region. So we've extended the length of the meeting, and we've also tried to make sure when we're in the region to make the most of our time in those regions. So when we were in Mumbai, the Institute of Chartered Accountants hosted an event where Amara and Henry presented. In Malaysia, when we were in Brazil, we did a conference on IFRS 17. And when we go to Malaysia, we're actually staying in Malaysia for 4 days. We'll do a third day morning looking at implementation of IFRS 9 and some initial feedback. And then we'll do a fourth day where we'll do a regional conference with the support of our education team on IFRS 17. So I think it's good to see that with the change in the EEG and the staff and with the feedback we've got from the reputation survey, we've been able to really respond, and the board has made more resources available to the EEG. But by making more resources available, we've also been able to feed back to the board more effectively the comments from the emerging economies. And just finally, before I hand over to Amara, we did ask the EEG members, you know, now that we'd gone through these changes and we'd had this first EEG meeting, what they thought about that. And we did a small survey after the last meeting. And over 75% of the EEG members who responded thought that the meeting was highly effective. They really liked the outreach on the third day because not only were they in contact with themselves, they were also talking to stakeholders in that jurisdiction. And they're quite proud of the work that they're doing on micro-entities, so that was really good news for us. So with that, I'm going to hand over to Amara.
Thank you, Michelle. So very quickly, thank you for the excellent presentation. I think Michelle provided a very thorough idea of what we do with the Emerging Economies Group. It's a technical group. I think it's just a final comment on before moving to the global organization support. And one aspect that we is the result of discussion with the Emerging Economies Group members that is being seen as very positive by everyone is the two last points that Michelle mentioned. The decision to extend the meeting for one additional day, and the decision also to make the most of our time, because since most of the traveling would take anyway 1 week or so, it's better for us to stay and be available to develop other activities in the country or in the region. So we started that in Mumbai. It was very successful. We did that in Brazil, which was extremely well received by stakeholders. And we do foresee also the same level of support for the next meeting in Malaysia in May. So we work together in the group. So Michelle is the main responsible for keeping the group organized and tired. I am the chair and work actually very closely with Daryl. Daryl was the chair for a short period, but we work together. We discuss everything, and as from the agenda to activities. So it's very good to have another board, two board members all the time working together in the subject. So if I move closely to global organization support, because we thought when discussing the objective of the session, we thought it would be good to provide a whole overview about what we do with national standard setters, because the EEG is, as Michelle indicated, aligned with the strategy with national standard setters. And the global organization support is also very important. The ISB mission, it is very clear in terms of spreading the use of IFRS, but not only spreading the use of IFRS, but the implementation correct implementation of IFRS. And then we foresaw, we are aware of the importance of working closely with global organizations in to help us dealing with that. So recently we signed a number of MOUs with the IOSCO, with the World Bank in 2017, and the Basel Committee on Banking Supervision in 2017 as well. And if we take the World Bank and the IFRS Foundation MOU as an example, we found that would be interesting since we have a representative from the World Bank in the Advisory Council. We see, well, the World Bank has, as its main mission, the end of extreme poverty. And the ISB on the other side, standard that foster, as we say, trust, growth, and long-term financial stability. So we found that as common issues that could be dealt with by the IFRS Foundation, and particularly the ISB and the World Bank, is really to tackle what we could see as unreliable financial information. Why is that? Because if the financial information is not trusted by investors, this at the end of the day can restrict the access to finance. We tend to think about investors, but the access to finance is much broader than that, especially in countries that are credit-driven countries, so that are not really capital markets characteristically, and the emerging economies tend to be credit-driven. Also, the evidence in literature that strong financial markets boost economic development, and we believe good quality information reduces the information asymmetry, providing more confidence to investors and the providers of finance in general, and then in the long term boost economic development. And if we have stronger capital markets, this could be the result of the trust and confidence by investors. So this led the foundation and the World Bank to sign an MOU. The MOU is mainly at inception. We are working with the World Bank in developing activities that could meet the objectives of the MOU. At inception, we foresee mainly capacity building activities. So we are engaged in discussions with the World Bank. We always had, this is important to mention, we always had activities developed together with the World Bank even before the MOU. The MOU is helping us is to shape and organize and coordinate and cooperate much better in order to achieve common objectives. And with that, we are trying to develop a number of capacity building activities. We work relatively close with the World Bank in the past in developing such activities, but now they are really coordinated and much better aligned with objectives of both entities. So I think, Michelle, we can say that the idea of this session was really to provide an overview of what we do in terms of national standard set, emerging economies, and global organizations. We'll have a session in the afternoon with the emerging economies representatives here in the Advisory Council, where we can discuss a little bit further the issues that we are talking about. But I think we'll have some time for questions. I don't know.
Certainly. Thank you very much, Michelle and Amara, for taking us through those changes, updates, response to the reputation survey. I think we do have a few minutes now, obviously acknowledging the fact that there is the group session this afternoon, so more detailed discussion. But I would certainly like to encourage some discussion now if we can. And I see, Garth, you have your card up. So, Garth, over to you.
Yes, I'd just like to make a comment or two, seeing I've been involved in some of these organisations. I was fortunate enough to attend the first few meetings of the Emerging Economies Group. And the first one, the day one topic was fair value. And I think it's fair to say that the issues that came up were probably no different from the ones from developed countries. And to me, I think that is one of the challenges. And in preparation for that meeting, I tried to get relevant information from some of the smaller countries that aren't invited. And I found that incredibly difficult. So I think there is a gap there that is not adequately being dealt with, that these other countries might be having issues that aren't being dealt with. But that said, I do think that the Emerging Economies group, there is merit in continuing it, because then it allows those type of countries that are presently members to discuss issues where they might not normally have as much input into it. So I think that is some benefit. As far as IFAST, International Federation of Accounting Standard Setters, I found that a very useful group to attend for the number of meetings that I did. And the main reason I found that was helpful is that seeing that the countries attending present papers, that enabled us in a number of cases to say, we've got an issue in our country, is this an issue that is also in other countries? And from that, we could then make a decision as to whether we believed it was there's merit in forwarding that to the Interpretations Committee, therefore achieving one of the goals to say, is this a widespread issue? The other area that we also found it useful is that in our country we had a specific issue that we were grappling with, and the ISB declined to take it on board. And so we had to try and see how we could deal with it. So we presented a paper to IFAS to see if they could help us. Unfortunately, they couldn't, but eventually that process we had to do ourselves, and eventually took 10 years, which is obviously a long time. The third one that I've been involved in is the World Standard Setters Conference, and as it has been said, that is very well attended. And that one, in my mind, is largely just educational. I haven't really seen that there's been much that's come out of that that has gone back to the ISB, but I think it does help to ensure that the countries around the world are aware of the issues in implementing IFS.
Thanks, Garth, for that. You've just made me think in terms of that comment around what in the reputation survey it was meant by more engagement. And I have to admit, I haven't gone back to understand what it meant. And I thought it was interesting, Michelle, that you said when you invited other countries to attend in South and Latin America that they didn't want to, and you're not sure what will happen in KL. And obviously the Emerging Economies Group is a technical group, and I've jotted down, and so this was for my notes, a mini technical conference, arguably. And as Garth said, the World Standards Setters is educational. In my mind, I'm not sure what it was that came out of the reputation survey. What did more engagement mean? And have you thought through what they said they wanted for more engagement, i.e. what you've put in place, which is more technical stuff, I will say stuff, is that what was meant by more engagement?
So a couple of points, if I can just pick up on them. I think we've done, and these are in no particular order, but on the World Standard Setters, we've done a lot of work on reformulating the World Standard Setters and the approach. So in the last couple of years, we've had some quite significant case studies on projects that are open. So I think it is educational, and definitely that's part of it, but I think there is much more feedback that now goes back on current projects. So in the last couple of years, WSS has changed. We also have, in addition to the work we've done with the emerging economies, I also now work much, much closer with the translation and adoption and copyright team. And in fact, two of the team members are here today. And the team have incredible relationships with many of the emerging economies, and there's not probably a day that doesn't go by where I'm not answering one or two emails from the team on a particular issue in a jurisdiction. So in addition to what we've done here with the Emerging Economies Group, we've also put a mechanism in place where we work much closer together between the foundation and the technical team to try and support emerging economies. And and when I say support, that can mean a real broad range of things. It might be like Daryl and I had a conference call with Anna last week to discuss with a new adopter, you know, how they might want to put a roadmap together. We tried to encourage them to slow down with their roadmap and to take things a step at a time. It might be a particular issue in an industry, and it may be in an emerging economy. So what I've done in some instances is say, look, on the extractives, look, Chris Peach in Australia, you know, is an expert in this area, and she's willing to support you. So we've got NSS to work together to support each other in terms of dealing with different issues as they come up. So I think in the I think it wasn't that people didn't want to come to the conference in Latin America. I think they don't always have the resources, and particularly the financial resources to make those trips. I think also it quite often takes time. It takes somebody to come the first time, say it was quite good, and then other people to get on, to come along with us. So it was disappointing, but I hope that it might be a slow process, but we will see more people there. And then in terms of what the reputational survey was actually saying, I think it was really addressing two issues. Was, were they involved sufficiently in the consultation process? And I think that's what the work we're doing, bringing the foundation team and the technical team closer together, and that they know there are people that will respond to them, has it opened the door for more questions from the emerging economies? And then the complexity topic, I think some of the work we've done around the adoption guide that we'll issue and the roadmaps will also help.
Okay, thanks for that, Michelle. Aziz.
Thank you,
madam.
PAFA, the Pan-African Federation of Accountants, is not around the place because I'm not representing PAFA. I'm representing the French-speaking Chartered Accountant Institute. And something I would like to make you aware of is this is the first time this year that CISCOADA countries, which regroup a lot of African, French, Francophone, and even Portuguese countries are going full IFRS. I wonder if there is anything that can be done to assist in this big leap forward, because this is the next year financial accounting will be done under IFRS, full IFRS. And it's a really kind of terrible thing. I was trying to talk with your colleagues over there to see what we can do to assist, because it's really a big traumatic, maybe even for some of them. So just PAFA, what can we do? I was, you know, PAFA was put in place when I was chairman of the UN group of accounting and standard, and it's a Pan-African Federation of Accountants. It regroups all Africa, and but there is need for this group to try to invite them and to include them, because really it's a very powerful gear. It's based in South Africa, but I don't see them around. Thank you, Madam Chair, for allowing me to give you that two big announcement.
Thanks, Aziz, for those comments. And certainly I would say if you want to respond, and Daryl perhaps to respond to that, but certainly engage offline as much as anything else in terms of the help, I think is what Michelle is saying. But Daryl, go for it.
So I think that's a useful introduction to come in on the topic. So I think slide 5 in the presentation actually does talk about all the standard setters we engage with, and one of those is PAFA on that slide. And I think we've benefited from the ISB perspective a lot from having PAFA in play, because that has given us a one-stop shop, if you like, for starting the discussion on issues on the African continent. So I think that's an important one. I think one of the other things that came up in the survey is a little bit of an issue that was raised yesterday when we talked about conferences. And I think Matt might have quoted Sue when he said that in some circumstances it's about showing the love, just the presence of actually being there. And I think a part of what we heard back in the reputation survey is that we're not getting to individual countries enough in these sort of one-stop, not necessarily conferences, just individually being there. And I think that's something that we've started to think about. I think our discussion yesterday in regard what we're going to be doing for our harder countries is, I think, an important part of that strategy. And then we work with PAFA as much as we can in the other countries. And I suspect the same thing is happening with the other groupings that we work with. But we are very aware of PAFA, and we do interact with them on a regular basis.
Thanks, Daryl. Last question before we move on, or last comment, Vanya.
Thank you. I had the opportunity of taking part in some of the meetings of the emerging groups, and I find it very useful, because when we present our issues in a broader public, for some developing countries, the issues that we present so minor. But when we go to this kind of forum, we can exchange experience with a country that have realities more close to our own. So I found it extremely, extremely important. Thank you.
Thanks for that last comment, Vanya. Supporting that, can I just show of hands around the table? Garth obviously been to some of these meetings. Vanya has too. Table tennis bat time. Those who have been to an emerging economies group meeting. It is just the two of you. Oh, three of you, sorry. Yep. Okay. And have any of them been near your country that you could have gone? Sybil, last comment for you.
I just want to make some additional comments. During those meetings, we are not an EEJ member, but other institutions within our country have been attending that. But they are responsible for standard setting only. But also as capital market regulators, we are reviewing the financial statements. So we might aware different issues with related to financial statements. So it will be it will be good to invite other relevant parties to the meeting or some parts of the meeting, or try to make additional outreach event with other relevant parties. It might provide some additional information with regard to issues in emerging.
I think that's a very relevant point, Sybil, and probably, if you like, part of my question about who is it we're engaging with, and is it just the technical people? So I'll hand over to you two.
So the permanent members are the national standard setters. But certainly when we were in Brazil, there were a number of other stakeholders that came and were either observers to the meeting or participated. And the final comment you made about reaching out while we're in the jurisdiction, we certainly have heard that feedback, and that's why we've extended our time in those emerging economies. It's why we did the additional event in Brazil. It's why we're doing the additional event in Malaysia. And we're trying in other places as well. So Sue and I are at IFAS in early March, which is being held in Mumbai. And although the IFAS meeting is 2 days, Sue and I will be there for 4 days doing outreach before and, to meet the other stakeholders. But we do go through the national standard setter and ask them to make those arrangements.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, very last comment, and then I am going to move on, otherwise we won't get lunch. Laura.
Hello. About your question, I've never attended a meeting of the emerging group, but Mexico does. We are represented by the Mexican standard setter. And in fact, they missed a meeting or two because of budgetary issues. Thank you.
Thanks, Laura. Okay, I'm going to say thank you to Michelle and Amuro, and obviously the discussion this afternoon. Hopefully those from the emerging economies in particular can attend, others as well, in terms of continuing to develop the strategy around emerging economies. I think that will be very useful.